Please welcome in Joe Sukrah joining us this morning on behalf of Hope Embraced. Joe, good to see you back in the studio. How's your summer going?
Well, it's going fast.
Yes, it's swinging on by.
It's hard to believe. Yeah. And it's been warm.
Yeah, it's been awfully toasty. We've been experiencing summer, that's for sure.
A wonderful week, though.
Yeah, nice to have the cooler temperatures finally.
Yeah, a little bit of moisture, it helps.
We could use a little bit more, but we'll take what we can get, right?
Yeah, every drop counts.
Amen, it does. Amen.
Don't want to get it quite like they did in St. Louis, though.
No, yeah, that was a little bit of a pour.
We can only spread it out.
Yeah, yep. We'll roll with the punches in the meantime, I suppose.
Right.
So, Joe, for those listening this morning, haven't heard us talk for a little while, give us a reminder of what Hope Embraced is.
Well, Hope Embraced is a ministry. We are formerly Youth for Christ, so our emphasis has been working with teenagers. But when we decided to form a local 501c3, we wanted to have more flexibility to work with younger kids and also with older young adults.
Sure.
And people, you know, may not even fit in those categories. The board, when we were writing our bylaws, I said, well, we probably should write something that says our emphasis is on youth. And they said, no, we don't want to limit ourselves. So that is our primary goal, is working with youth and children. But we do some jail ministry. In fact, got a call the other night, and they had an inmate that had requested a visit. So I'll have a chance to meet a brand new person there. And,
hey, awesome.
And, you know, God gives opportunities. And, you know, I think I shared maybe the last time about an inmate that had shared with another inmate. And that inmate ended up getting baptized. And now their whole pod pretty much is involved with a prayer circle.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It's neat to see God moving in places where maybe you don't expect to see it. But you know, God is not shut out by bars and walls and things like that.
I would argue that he does some of his best work behind bars.
Well, you know, I say there's a captive audience there, but, you know, it's people are looking for answers, you know, when they've come to the end of everything else. And we're happy to be able to present Jesus as that answer.
It's been quite the summer for Christianity and for especially pro-life advocates like you and I, Joe. It's been very exciting, some big positive news in the overturn of Roe v. Wade and control put back in the state's hands.
Right. Well, some of you that have seen me in the last year and a half thought I was looking a little shaggy, and I was. And it wasn't because I was trying to, you know, create something stylish for myself. It was, to me, it was a symbol of mourning for our nation, because there are a lot of things happening in our nation that, you know, most people are not too thrilled about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my symbol of mourning. And when the Supreme Court made the decision about Roe v. Wade, to me, it was a celebration. And probably the day of or the day after, I got an appointment to get my hair cut, which coincided with my daughter's wedding, so I looked decent for that, too.
Oh, of course. She might have something to say about that, right?
You know, she did all along. I said, you know, this is up to you. If you want me to get a haircut, I will. And she respected my decision and left it up to me. But as it was, I was glad to clean up a little bit and look decent for the pictures.
There's no coincidences on time by any means.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share my journey and my view about the whole thing about abortion.
Yes, please do.
You know, I grew up, I was a child of the 70s, graduated in 76. So Roe v. Wade was pretty new when I went to Christian college. And you know, I'm a part of what we call the evangelical church.
Mm-hmm.
And the evangelical church was not talking about abortion. The Catholic Church was way ahead. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were on it to begin with. And I applaud the Catholic Church for taking the lead and for helping the rest of us to see why this is an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Francis Schaeffer had a headquarters in Switzerland, and he was writing some pretty profound, deep thinking books about some of the cultural issues, and one of them was abortion and where that would lead. So I got a little exposure to that in college, but what really caught my attention, I used to think, well, you know, somebody loses a baby and that's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But they always give the comfort that that baby goes to heaven, is in the arms of God. And I thought, well, what's the big deal? You know, an abortion is saving that baby from having to suffer through all the pain and trials of life. And they get that immediate, you know, ushered into the presence of God without all the other things that, you know, we have to live through in life. And it wasn't until I started ministry with Youth for Christ that, you know, I started hearing from ladies who had had abortions. And the thing that struck me is every woman that shared her story with me, it wasn't just the abortion, but it was the suicide attempts after that abortion. And I realized there's not just a baby that's a victim here. There's a woman who's being scarred for life to the point where she's ready to give up her own life because of what that decision did to her. Many people either have experienced or somebody very close to them, a loved one that has had a miscarriage. And that's a traumatic thing. I remember an uncle of mine sharing in his 70s about losing a couple of babies, you know, that were, you know, stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still grieving the loss of those children. But what goes on with a woman when she gets pregnant? Anybody who's had to deal with a pregnant wife or girlfriend or, you know, somebody that...
Even
you know,
just a woman they love that's pregnant, a
they
friend,
turn
a
into
mother,
a
you know,
different
whoever.
Creature.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, there's so many physical changes going on within her. She is going through so many emotional upheavals because of the hormone changes. So the body is gearing up to support this child that's growing within her. And with all of that stirring inside of her, when that is cut short through a miscarriage or whatever, it's a devastating thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more than just, and this is enough in itself, more than just the loss of a baby.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other issues that a woman has to deal with in healing. You throw on top of that, that you made the decision to end that pregnancy. And you realize, you know, you see a baby and you think, wow, I wonder what my baby would have looked like.
Yeah.
You know, it's a birth date time. And you think, that child that I see, you know, that's how old my baby would be. And you wonder the what ifs.
Yeah.
So the guilt that follows and the hurt that goes with women who've gone through abortion is a tragedy in itself that needs to be we need to be more aware of.
And unfortunately, Joe, our society likes to diminish the role that fathers play in this as well. And unfortunately, in today's world with the abortions and things along those lines, the father doesn't have a say.
Right.
And they like to. I feel like society in some ways. We've talked about this before. We've talked about this for hours. The family is under attack, and in part of that attack is diminishing masculinity and
right.
and the role that a father plays in a family.
Right. Yeah, and there's two sides to that. There's the father that wants to save the life of his child.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side is there's the mother that wants to save her child, but it's the man who's made her pregnant that is putting the pressure on
sure.
to get rid of this. This is an inconvenience to us. And they don't want to call it a child. You know, the thing of it is, some of our states, they want to make it okay even after the point of birth to get rid of a child.
Yeah.
because it's an inconvenience. It's not wanted. But the statistics show every child that is aborted is wanted because the number of people that want to adopt matches the number of children that are aborted. So just because a mother or a parent doesn't feel like they are capable of raising that child, there's somebody else that would love to have that child put in their arms.
Adoption's the loving option, and it leaves the door open for this individual to do whatever, and leaves the door open for potential contact down the road with birth parents and that individual that was put up for adoption. And whenever we have this conversation, too, I always like to bring up an argument that I've heard many times before. Who's to say that this young boy or girl doesn't grow up to cure cancer? To grow up to save lives, save a life, you know.
Save Social Security.
Yeah, that's a threat in today's world, you know. There's so many what ifs. You don't know. You give that child a chance so you see what comes of that life.
Right. You know, a few weeks ago, I had the blessing of being able to participate in a 40th wedding celebration of one of my best friends. And one of the moving things about he and his wife and their family, they have two children that are grown, and they are now giving them grandchildren. And I watched my friend come through the doors of the church. You know, everybody was there. It was supposed to be kind of a surprise for his wife.
And
he comes through the door, and these grandkids come running up to him and grabbing him on the leg. And I'm thinking, this all happened because years ago, when they were trying to have a child, a lady was on her way to an abortion clinic, and she saw a pro-life billboard and changed her mind. She turned around and went home, gave birth to that baby, and that baby became my friend's child.
Wow.
And after that, which happens a lot of times, you adopt a child, and then all of a sudden, your efforts to have your own natural child comes along. And so those two children were the result of a lady turning around away from the abortion clinic and blessing my friend's family in the way that, you know, I look at them and I think, wow, there's another huge reason why we should protect life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't get much better. And if there's anybody out there that's struggling with the aftermath of an abortion, don't have that shame. Understand that there's help out there.
Yes.
There's support groups.
Yes.
We have great ministers in all of our local churches, but they can contact you directly, Joe, and talk to you if they would prefer to do that with that connection.
I also want to mention Women's Resource Center.
Oh, what a great
resource. Because they have people that are trained to do post-abortion counseling. So, you know, look them up and you know, I guarantee there are probably hundreds of ladies listening to us this morning that have that ache in their heart, that have not been able to find the healing that's needed, and it's there. God loves you, and He wants you to be whole and be well and to find His comfort.
Now, Joe, folks want to get in contact with you and potentially volunteer, donate, help out with Hope Embraced, or talk to you about anything in particular. How can they do so?
Well, best way to get a hold of me is through my flip phone. It tells you how forward I am with technology.
It's reliable, though,
yeah.
By golly.
My number is 308-530-1273.
Anything else you want to add this morning, Joe?
I think that'll do for today, and I just want to encourage people, enjoy the cool weather while we have it.
Amen.
The heat will be back, and you know, before we know it, we'll be shoveling snow.
Yep, it's going to be that time, so enjoy this temperature while we can.
Yes.
Joe, as always, appreciate the time, appreciate the great work you do for our community. Look forward to seeing you in the studio in about a month, sir.
All right, thank you.